wrong I may have done you. But for Bhai Srila Prabhupada, Krishna's devotees relate to Krishna in various relationships. One might treat Krishna as a son, or one might treat Krishna as a husband, as a friend, or as a master. Krishna and Arjuna are related in friendship. As the father tolerates, or the husband or a master tolerates, so Krishna tolerates. Om Adhyam Timilandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chashu Krimilam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Nama Om Vishnu Paraya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dhinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatale Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 11, verse number 44, translation. You are the Supreme Lord, to be worshipped by every living being. Thus, I fall down to offer you my respectful obeisances and ask your mercy. As a father tolerates the impudence of his son, a friend the impertinence of a friend, or a husband the familiarity of his wife, please tolerate the wrongs I may have done you. So Arjuna is again telling Krishna, you are the Supreme Lord, and again is offering him obeisance. So why again and again this message is repeated? Still we don't understand it. Every purport, every page, every lecture, this is repeated, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you understand this much, we'll go back home, back to Godhead. So we have to rehear this again and again. And the most mature and advanced understanding of spiritual knowledge is expressed in paying obeisances to Krishna. By paying obeisances to Krishna, we express our respect. We get purified. We are forgiven of our sinful activities. We are accepted as a surrendered soul. We get blessings. We express our gratitude, our respect, our love, and we advance in devotional service. Offering obeisances to Krishna is in itself devotional service. It's an activity of bhakti. In fact, Krishna is demanding. Krishna is asking, Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your obeisances to me. Krishna is asking this from us. Thinking of Krishna, difficult. Becoming devotee of Krishna, difficult. Worshipping him, difficult. Offering obeisances,
not difficult, easy, very easy. Even a small child can offer obeisances, offer demonstration. See this, such an easy thing. And you advance in bhakti. We need some laboratory also, right? Demonstration. Such an easy thing and we advance in bhakti. Still out of lazy we don't offer, or out of lack of etiquette we don't offer, or we say, are subhe to kiya na bhi wapis kyun? Why again? Last week I did, yesterday I did. Nobody is seeing, why now? When Prabhuji is there, then we will offer. Or when public is there, then we will offer. Now nobody is there. Why all these excuses? This is not good. You know, in Ramayana, when Hanuman reached Lanka and he searched Mother Sita, so Hanuman wanted to take Mother Sita with him and fly back. But Sita said, no, I can't come with you. You're driving rough. Your flying is rough. I can't come with you. I can't touch another male. You go and tell Lord Ram, he should come and kill Ravan and respectfully take me from him. So Hanuman said, okay, I will go to Ram. I'll tell him urgently to come here. But how will I prove that I have met you? You have to give me some remembrance. You have to give me some token. She said, I will tell you one story which either he knows or I know, nobody else knows, because it happened between us in private. So if you tell that, he will know that you have met me, because nobody else can tell this story. So she said, once, near a river in the forest, only Sitaram were there. Very nice breeze was blowing and it was afternoon time, not very hot, and nice flowers, nice grass was there. So they were having good time with each other. And in river they took bath. Lord Ram was still little wet. He was sitting. Sita Devi was also sitting. At that time one crow, he came there. And he disturbed Mother Sita. He was with his claws trying to scratch some part of her body, to take some meat. So he scratched her breast, her chest. But Mother Sita didn't say anything. Again he came to scratch her chest. But this time to shoo the crow away, Mother Sita took some dirt, some mud and threw on the crow. The crow took a back step. Again he flying came. And again the crow was disturbing Mother Sita. And she was getting angry, disturbed, and her body is so soft, so she was trying to shoo the crow away. At that time, her skirt, lower garment, or lehenga, whatever they wear, she was trying to tighten that also. And by a mistake, the rope came out, and it became more loose. At that time, Ram saw her. And he started laughing, and she was angry, and he started laughing, and the crow was disturbing, so the tears started coming from her eyes. Then Lord Ram embraced her, wiped her tears, and, you know, very nicely, affectionately spoke to her, and pacified her mind. Very loving couple. And gradually, Mother Sita, she slept on the lap of Lord Ram. After she woke up, Lord Ram said, I am also tired, I will also sleep. So he slept on the lap of Mother Sita. And as soon as Lord Ramchandra slept, that crow came again. And again with his claws, he was attacking Madansi. This time she was sitting, Lord Ram was sleeping on her lap, she can't disturb Lord Ram. So she couldn't do much to the crow, and actually blood started coming out of her chest. The crow scratched so sharp claws, and that blood fell on Lord Ramchandra's head. And because of that wetness, Lord Ramchandra got awoke, and he saw Mother Sita's chest was wounded. He got very angry. Said, "Who is this? Who wounds your chest?" And she was very upset, and the crow was still there. Her claws were full of blood, red marks. Lord Ramchandra understood, this fellow has done it. He has disturbed Mother Sita. So immediately there was Kusha grass. He was lying on a mat of Kusha. He plucked one Kusha from that mat, chanted Brahmastra mantras, and shot it on crow. And that Kushagras became Brahmastra missile. And it landed at the crow. He ran. This crow was not ordinary. He was son of Indradev. Jayant. His name is Jayant. So Jayant got very afraid. He ran. He ran to all the sages and demigods, including his father Indra. "Please protect me." "To protect from what?" "From Ramchandra's Brahmastra. Is it impossible? Get out from here. We can't protect you." So he did the parikrama of the whole universe. Nobody protected him. Finally, Pei came and paid dandavat pranam to Lord Ram. And Lord Ram said, "Okay, forgive me." But Brahmastra cannot go waste. He told Jayant, "Brahmastra cannot go waste. I forgive you, but Brahmastra has to do something to you. Some part of your body has to go." So he said, "Okay, one eye." That Brahmastra went and attacked one right eye, and his right eye was. So Jayant, Indra's son, offended Mother Sita so badly, physical violence, wounded, clawed, wound came out from her breast, that to Mother Sita. But Lord Ramchandra, Lord Ramchandra shot a Brahmastra on a crow. He can kill a crow by so many other smaller ways. Right? He could have killed with an ordinary arrow also. A small arrow also. But he shot a Brahmastra at a crow. So much love he had for Mother Sita. But then he forgave her. So because he paid obeisance, that's all the crow did. The crow came and paid obeisances at the lotus feet of Lord Ram. So Mother Sita told Hanuman, crying, "That Ram who shot a Brahmastra at the crow now is not doing anything to Ravan. What is this? Since so many months I am here captive, kidnapped. Why is not shooting a Brahmastra from there to Ravan? Please tell him to come here urgently, ASAP, immediately." So Lord Ramchandra is so compassionate. Krishna is so compassionate. By paying obeisances to Krishna, we invoke his mercy. We invoke his blessing. By paying obeisances to the spiritual master or a Vaishnava, we invoke their goodwill. If we offend a Vaishnava, if with sincere heart we beg forgiveness and pay obeisances, then the Vaishnava forgives. Paying obeisances is so powerful that even an angry person who is very angry on you, who wants to punish you, who wants to take revenge on you, his heart will melt. Just by paying obeisance, the heart melts. Sympathy is strong. Kindness is strong. So Arjuna is paying obeisances to Krishna, who is worthy of accepting obeisances, who is worthy of accepting worship. Who is worthy of accepting surrender? Krishna is worthy of our life. Nobody, nobody on this, in this world is worthy of accepting somebody's life. Very rarely you see person A given life to person B. You see like this very rarely. But Krishna consciousness, so many people join Brahmachari ashram, give their life. Dedicate life to Krishna whom they have never seen. Just read about Krishna. And that too read by whom? The author. Many people not see the author also. Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, Narad Muni, Srila Prabhupada. Many have not seen Prabhupada in this generation. And Prabhupada writing about Krishna, whom also is not seen. And you are still giving your life. Such a great transcendental attractive is Krishna. We can dedicate our life, our body, our mind, our words, our resources, our money, our talent, our skills, our intelligence, completely to Krishna through His Paramahansa. So Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead whom everybody should worship. Every living entity should worship. Every jiva should worship. In fact, not worshipping Krishna is offense. It's aparad. And by worshipping somebody else as Supreme Personality of Godhead, like nowadays, is also aparad. There is only one God. There is one and only one Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's Krishna. Not worshipping Him is offense. And worshipping somebody else as God is also offense. Like we have a father, material father. Not respecting Him is not good. Respecting somebody else as our father, neighbor, that also is not good. Right? So same logic, He is Supreme Father. Not respecting Him, not worshipping Him, not good. Worshipping somebody else as God, not good. Anybody else whom we are supposed to worship, like Ganeshji, we are supposed to worship. If we don't worship, it is not apra. But we are supposed to worship Krishna and we don't worship, it's aparad. It's sinful activity. And so many people are committing so many sinful activity. And just by obeying this Krishna's order, Mam Namaskuru, pay me obeisances, that sinful activity is nullified. By saying Namaha, Haraya Namaha, Krishnaya Namaha, by saying Namaha, Keshavaya Namaha, Vasudevaya Namaha, by saying Namaha, we can eradicate our sinful reactions. If somebody is sleeping, if somebody is walking, if somebody is sneezing, coughing, so Krishnaya Namaha. Oh, Haraya Namaha. People say, Hey Bhagavan. Just by doing this, his sinful reactions are eradicated. Offering obeisances to Krishna is so great. Offering obeisances to Krishna is so powerful. He is the Supreme Personality of God. So Arjuna is saying, My dear Krishna, You are Supreme Personality of Godhead. I offer my Dandavat Pranam to You, my obeisances to You. Dandavat Pranam is falling like a rod. Very difficult to do. Don't do if unpracticed, your bones will break. Dandavat Pranam. So at least you bent on your knees and offer Dandavat Pranam, touching your head, your chest, your arms, your knees, your feet, lowering your gaze, glorifying with words, voice, and with devotion in the mind. The Shastang or Ashtang, Dandavat Pranam. So this is proper etiquette when we visit the temple or when we offer obeisances to Krishna at our altar or during Rath Yatra on the road or anywhere we come in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or we leave the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead or we come in the presence of a spiritual master or leave the presence of the spiritual master or go for some service or complete some service wherever it may be, we should offer our pranam, we should offer our dandavat pranam, we should go down, touching our head on the ground. So this purifies us, it gives us blessing, and if the unintentional offense is committed during our interaction, communication, seva, any aparad, seva aparad, so that is also eradicated. So Arjuna is not only falling down, offering dandavat pranam, he is saying, my dear Lord, please forgive me. Please, I may have dealt with you not so nicely, but I know you are very nice. So you will tolerate any offense like that in my behavior with you. Just as in other relationships, offenses are tolerated. Like a father tolerates the offense of his son or child, the mother tolerates the offense of his child or child, or a friend tolerates offense from another friend, or husband-wife, they tolerate offense of each other. A child sometimes may not behave nicely with the parents, with the mother or father. They may raise their volume when they are small, or they may touch their feet to their body, or they may disrespect, not listen, not obey. But the parents tolerate. They don't put FIR, or they don't take the insult. They tolerate. Or a friend has to tolerate another friend's misbehavior. He may tease him, he may joke with him, he may insult him. Tolerate. Or husband and wife relationship, there is familiarity. So sometimes they may not have interaction which is joyful in experience. There may be harsh words or bitter experience. Or the wife may not listen to the husband. So my dear Lord, just like friends tolerate each other, just like parents tolerate their children, just like husband tolerates wife, just like master tolerates the servant sometimes, the servant may not be doing proper seva efficiently as per the expectation. The master tolerates. In the same way, my dear Lord, please tolerate my offense. Krishna has so many varieties of relationship with different devotees. The five primary rasas, different devotees see him in different way. When Krishna Balaram came to Mathura to kill Kans, at that time after killing the elephant, Valya Peed, they entered the arena. Arena where Kamsa was sitting, big stadium was there. So many people were audience and the wrestlers were there, Chandur, Mustik, Toshal, who were ready to kill Krishna. So very nicely Sukadeva Goswami explains that when Krishna Balaram, especially Krishna, entered the arena, everybody saw him in a different way. Chandur Mustik, the wrestlers, when they saw small Krishna, they saw him as thunderbolt. Now Krishna's body is so soft, like butter, and this fellow saw him as thunderbolt, because their rasa was like that. Not rasa, their vision was different. The general masses, they saw him so beautiful person, so beautiful boy, The Mathura girls, they saw him as Kamdev, all attractive, Cupid, increasing their lusty desire. Nand Baba, he saw him as his darling son. Coward men, they saw him as हमारे गांव का, from our village, small Gopa, and the Kamsa, he saw him as death. My death has come, death personified. And the other kings, friends of Kamsa, were impious kings, they saw him as somebody who can rule and chastise us. They were afraid. And all the Vishnu dynasty, the relatives of Vasudev, they saw him as a very celebrated descendant. Somebody who will give glory to our khandan, our family lineage. The yogis were there, they saw him as Paramatma, the super soul. So different people saw the same Krishna in different ways. This is not illusion. This is not delusion. This is not imagination, kalpana. This is real. Because Krishna appears to his devotees as they want. Krishna behaves with his devotees as they want. That is Krishna's reciprocation. Mother Yashoda sees Krishna as a child and he behaves naughtily, feeling hungry for her breast milk. Sakha see Krishna as a friend, so he plays with them. And Krishna's asuras, they see him as an enemy, so he fights with them. Eti sees them as a stone, he will not listen. Krishna remains a stone for them, doesn't listen to them. And devotees worship with faith, so Krishna reciprocates and responds to their prayers. So different living entities, they approach Krishna in a different way. Ye yatha mam prapadyante. Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita that I reciprocate as per your surrender. Jaise to taisa. As Krishna, as living entity approaches Krishna, Krishna rewards them accordingly. This is not partiality. This is how Krishna reciprocates. So different living entities, they see Krishna in a different way. In general, our relationship with Krishna is that of a servant. Whatever rasa a devotee may have out of the five, eventually he is servant of Krishna. He is supposed to give pleasure to Krishna. So we should increase our service attitude. We should develop our service attitude. We should serve Krishna. We should serve the devotees of Krishna. We should engage in devotional service. So as we become servant of Krishna, we advance in our spiritual life. That is wanted, that we engage. Bhakti, Oxford Dictionary translates bhakti as love and devotion, not awkward, in the English dictionary, whatever. Love and devotion. Prabhupada translated bhakti as devotional service. It's a kriya, it's an activity, it's not just mental thought that I love you. No, one has to act on the platform of loving Krishna. And that action is service, seva. One has to do seva. One has to use his body, his mind, his words, his senses, his income, his house, his resources, everything in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even small little seva done gives immense benefit. Even a small seva, at least minimum benefit it gives is next life, our human birth is confirmed. Next life we don't go to animal birth, lower species, hellish planets, just by doing little service. What to speak about doing lots of service, and what to speak about doing service whole life. Even little service confirms human birth, and short-term service gives Swargaloka. Long-term service gives birth in a Vaishnava family. That means from childhood practice devotional service. And perfect full life service takes us back home, back to Godhead. There's more than that, there are gopis whose service was so great that Krishna tell, my dear gopis, your service is so nice, I am so pleased that I can't repay. Be happy with your seva. Gopi service is so great that Krishna couldn't repay. Krishna is still in Udhar Khata, still credit, still he has not repaid, and whole life he will not be able to repay. So this is highest reciprocation, that Krishna remains Udhar, remains creditor, remains debtor, sorry, remains debtor. This is highest. If somebody gives us 10 rupees and we give them 10, 20, 30, 50 thousand back, the account is closed somehow. But if we keep the account open and we remain in debt whole life, that is biggest reciprocation. And that is Krishna's reciprocation with the gopis, that I will remain eternally your debtor. I can't repay you even with my whole Vaikuntha opulences. I can't repay you. This is amazing. So Krishna rewards devotional service by giving himself. By no other activity, we get Krishna as a reward. So we should engage in seva. We should engage in devotional service. We should not give excuse for seva, not doing seva. We should not be lazy. We should not give something else as priority. Krishna seva is priority. Boss seva, or body seva, or man seva, or bivi seva, or desh seva, or laziness, all this is not priority. Okay, some essential prescribed duties are there in the family and society. We balance it, but we don't cancel Krishna seva in the name of balance. If it is not getting balanced, then cancel other thing. But if we do Krishna seva, we dedicate our life to Krishna, we get up early morning, we do Mangala Arati, we chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 16 rounds on beans, we do Guru Puja, we read and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we offer Bhoga to Krishna, we honor Prasadam, we do preaching activities, we associate with Vaishnavas, we assist the spiritual master, we read, we do all this. Srila Prabhupada is founder Acharya of ISKCON. He has given all this process from morning till night for everybody. You know Prabhupada wrote two Bhagavad Gitas? Everybody knows the history? He wrote two Bhagavad Gitas. Bhagavad Gita for full-time devotees, and Bhagavad Gita for congregation. Which one you read? He wrote only one. Same instructions for everybody. Nowadays devotees think for brahmacharis is Mangalati, for congregation Mangalati is not required because they don't stay in temple. Or strict practice is not required. No, the destination is same, the process is different, how it will work? We all want to go back to God. A destination is same. So how the instructions will be different? So we have to come to a very strong, very strict practice of sadhana. Very serious devotee. Very pakka devotee. And that happens by early morning. Not sleeping in Brahma Murta period. But waking up, washing our face, taking bath, greeting the deity, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and in this way we will be very, 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 very strong in bhakti. We sleep in Brahma Muhurta, pray and get up aram se. By aram se I mean 6 a.m., 7 a.m. We get up aram se, 9 a.m., 10 a.m. Then we'll be lazy, our rounds will be disturbed whole day, chanting at night. When will we read them? And when will we do seva them? We get up early morning, 3:34, chant our rounds. That's so nice. Okay, 4:30. We should do that. We have difficulty in doing that because we are not practiced. So let us start practicing. Whatever is your time of regular get up, make it half an hour before, make it 1 hour before. Start doing it now. When we'll do at the end of life, before that. We should not take it, you know, cheaply. We should do nice bhakti, nice seva, then we'll go back. So before concluding, we have an exercise. Very essential exercise based on this verse. How many Prabhuji's are there? How many Mataji's are there? Yellow give to Mataji. Give one more kit to everybody. Mix it and give. This one give to Prabhu. Mix and give. Okay, what is written in your chit? Two more devotees will have the same chit. So you find your group. And rearrange yourself, sit in your group.